welcome to the Power Hour. I'm your host, The Wrestling Doc, and I want to thank you for joining us this next hour as we talk about West Coast Florida wrestling. And we bring to you today's top local wrestlers, coaches, and talent in the Tampa Bay area.
Thank you for joining us at the Power Hour. This is the Wrestling Doc, and today's show is going to be on girls in wrestling. And today we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got special guests, Miss Harris, Heather Harris, and Maddie Harris. We've also got Coach Hughes from Cypress Creek, and also we'll have a call-in special guest, Steve Hall, who is the coach of Palm Harbor University, and also the junior national female coach who just returned back from taking the girls team up in the junior nationals. So join us for an exciting program today, and stay tuned for those special guest interviews. All right, so here we go with the Power Hour. Now, Miss Maddie, so what made you decide to want to be a wrestler?
I wanted to try something new, something out of my comfort zone. I don't particularly like girl sports just because in my experience, they're very mean and very picky about the girls that they like and want on their team. They don't care about if you're good at the sport or not. They care about how popular you are and stuff. And I thought if I tried not an all-guy sport, but like, you know, close to an all-guy sport, that it'd be different, that they wouldn't be as judgmental and stuff. So I wanted to try something like that.
Okay, so we know that wrestling is one of the fastest growing sports in the country right now, and not just at the high school level, but also at the collegiate level. So I think a lot of girls would argue that wrestling is an actual girl sport now. So you're really one of the pioneers for girl sports now in the country. So knowing that, how does that make you feel, knowing that, at least in Florida, that you're one of the pioneers in a growing sport for women?
That's exciting, because when I get older, I can, you know, say that I was, like, a part of something like that.
Yeah, you really are. So you're part of a movement. You really are. You're part of a pioneering movement for women. So that's got to be pretty exciting, I can imagine. So what are some of the challenges that you've faced in being a female athlete? And let's just be honest, wrestling is a pretty male-dominated sport. So what are some of the challenges that you've faced up to this point in being a girl wrestler in a male-dominated sport? Because we see these challenges, and wrestling is just one of the classic examples right now. But women have broken those barriers in all types of professions. We see it in the business industry, financial industry. We see it across the board, and you're just now going through that now in a male-dominated sport. So what are some of the challenges that you're facing right now?
Nervousness with wrestling guys. Just because I don't want to get hurt, because they're a lot stronger, I think.
So you've got to overcome some nervousness.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's also some physical differences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you do to overcome some of those challenges?
Just practice harder, I guess.
Okay, so there's more time in the wrestling room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you focus more on your cardio conditioning.
Try to
develop some habits.
Yes.
To overcome some of the nervousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you ever, so I think you've kind of answered one of my next questions I had. So you do feel kind of scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you feel so scared, but you still step out on that mat anyway? That's got to be a pretty intense feeling.
Yeah.
So most normal people would just say, you know what? No way. No way. This isn't the sport for me. What's that drive? What drives you to still step out on that mat anyway?
Because someday I want to experience the excitement when my hand is raised to, like, as the winner.
That desire, that feeling to be a champion.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So that desire to be a winner, that desire to be a champion, is so great that overcomes that feeling of nervousness, that fear.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of emotions going on there, isn't there?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Because I don't want to let my coach down. I don't want to let my family down. I would like to just...
And let yourself down. Mm-hmm. You've put a lot of hard work and effort into it, right?
Yeah, I feel like I have.
Okay. So what are some of your plans after high school? Do you ever plan on going to college? And do you see yourself being a collegiate wrestler?
It's a possibility. I do plan on going to college. Maybe not for wrestling, to be an anesthesiologist. But... wrestling depends on how good I do in high school and how good the college people think I do.
Okay, so some of the recruiters, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what grade are you in right now?
I'm going into 10th.
Okay, so you're really a freshman right now going into 10th grade, so you'll be a sophomore.
Yes.
Did you try to wrestle at all last year?
Yes.
Okay, and how did you do last year?
I got injured, so I couldn't wrestle. I got injured during conditioning, and I was really bummed out because I wanted to put in all my effort for freshman year, but
tried to become a wrestler as a freshman then.
Yes.
So how old were you as a freshman?
15.
14?
15.
Okay, so how old are you now?
15.
So you're 15 now, so you came out as a freshman and started last year as a female wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And you sustained your first injury, and what kind of injury did you have?
A torn ligament in my shoulder.
Okay, so you had a shoulder injury, and it pretty much prevented you from wrestling.
Yeah,
your first year.
Yes, I had to do physical therapy for a while, and my doctor, he wouldn't let me wrestle. And then when I got cleared, it was the end of wrestling season, so I couldn't do anything about that.
So. Okay, so here you are, now you're back at it again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you doing any conditioning over the summer?
Yes, I am doing American Warrior Wrestling Club. Yeah.
Okay, so you're training in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
You're working out with the wrestling club right here in Wesley Chapel.
Yes.
So you're preparing for next wrestling season and getting ready to compete with the high school team, which is Wiregrass Ranch.
Yes.
And you're getting ready to take it to the competition for your sophomore year.
Yep.
Excellent. So now I want to turn my questions to Mom, Heather Harris. Wow, it's got to be tough to be a mom and see your daughter out there on the mat.
It is very tough to be a mom and watching your daughter out there with boys. Haven't had the opportunity to see her with any girls yet, but definitely... kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah, that's your baby girl, isn't it?
Yes. Quite literally, my baby girl.
So what's the first thing that goes on your mind when you see your baby girl step out on that mat?
Get 'em.
That's right, get 'em.
Strike first.
Okay, good. Now, I didn't ask Maddie this, but has she played any other sports before wrestling?
She did. She played soccer for a little while. She tried cheerleading, did not care for it. She really did not show any interest in softball. Her friend tried to get her into that, and that wasn't it. So, basketball, we've never tried, but I think she'd like it.
So, what was your initial thought when she came to you and said, "Mom, I want to be a wrestler"?
Excuse me? I wasn't really sure how to process that, because Maddie was a very prissy little girl growing up, and wrestling was not anything I ever envisioned her doing.
She wasn't the roughneck type that you'd think that you'd see out on the wrestling mat?
Well, she had a little bit of roughneck, but more prissy than roughneck. But now that she's in it, I can't see her doing anything other than.
Interesting. Okay, so let me ask you this, and I imagine that every parent that's out there listening to this is going to have this somewhere sitting in the back of their mind. So as you have a daughter that's out there on that wrestling mat, what is your thought or concern about your daughter and the inappropriate touching aspect of your daughter rolling around on the mat with another boy?
Well,
do you have a concern about that, or what is your concern, and did you have to really think about that, or because that's got to be a concern for other parents? My little girl's going to be rolling around with a boy, and there's going to be some sort of level, or at least concern, of some touching of something somewhere. And how did that resonate with you when she came and said, "I want to be a wrestler"?
Initially, I thought about it, but after watching a little bit of wrestling, it kind of left my mind, because they're out there, they're in front of everybody, there's not really any opportunity for touching inappropriately that is on purpose. And, you know, she's out there, she's on the mat, and I expect her to look at her opponent just as her opponent, and vice versa, not as someone of the opposite sex.
Sure. And I think that's a big concern, I think, with a lot of parents. And a lot of parents don't realize that wrestling is one of the only sports where, in the competition element or aspects of it, there's really, in most competitions, there's at least one official for every two competitors. In no other sport is there that official per competitor ratio. For football, there's, you know, two or three officials, maybe four officials for every, 12 or 13 competitors. But for wrestling, there's two competitors and one official, and that official has their undivided attention. In a wrestling room, you know, there's several coaches with a bunch of competitors, but there's so many eyes watching that it's just not likely that that sort of conduct is happening in the wrestling environment. So, I think a lot of parents just allow their imaginations to sort of run wild with that sort of conduct, and it's just not likely. But do you have any advice to give to any other parents that are out there that might have daughters that want to wrestle? Or what would your advice be?
My advice would be to be supportive and listen. And if it is something that your daughter wants to pursue, there are amazing opportunities out there right now. And I would fully say just support her any way you can. Get her in it and go to matches. Attend practices if possible, and make sure that she has family support from you so that she can succeed in whatever she wants to do.
Wow. Well, I think that was some great advice. And really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, you know, the parents just need to be involved and really be supportive of whatever their wrestlers or their children want to do. So, Maddie, Heather, thank you so much for joining us here at the Power Hour. This is the Wrestling Doc, and thank you, everyone at home, for listening in, and thank you for joining us at the Power Hour. Okay, joining us now, I have the head coach from Cypress Creek Middle School here in Wesley Chapel. She is the head coach for the wrestling team, and her name is Coach April Hughes. So, Coach Hughes, thanks for joining us here at the Power Hour. And so today, I'd like to talk to you and discuss your role as a female coach in what is presumably a male-dominated sport in wrestling. And specifically, I'd like to talk to you about some of the roles that you see as up-and-coming female coaches now that are breaking into the sport. We know that you are the first female coach over at Cypress Creek and the first female coach in Pasco County and maybe even the first female coach on the west coast of Florida. I do believe there's another female coach somewhere in the Orlando area, but it's not really that popular. So can you tell us a little bit about how you see your role as a female coach now?
Oh, thank you. I just feel that I want to get some official recognition, which is going to be expected to come very soon with having females in wrestling. The process has begun to gain momentum. It's just really impressive how the wrestling community is coming together behind this cause of getting more females into wrestling and the process towards having the state actually sanction continues. And my role with my wrestling team is to encourage more girls to get involved in wrestling as a sport, and also to have my current wrestlers, which right now I have mostly boys, to be more acceptive of having girls into wrestling. So just promoting the sport for females in general.
Okay, so you said a couple things there. One of the things that you said that you want to encourage more female participation in the sport, but also have more males become more accepting of the sport. So how do you plan on getting more girls involved with the sport?
We've been promoting it around school and putting up flyers and saying, hey, you know, girls can wrestle too. This is not just a sport for boys. And when they actually see me and they hear about how Coach Hughes goes out there and I actually wrestle with them, and putting up the banners around the school, having meetings, I talk about it in my regular classes when I teach criminal justice, and I actually show some of the videos in my core classes, and I have the girls like, wow, girls can wrestle too, Coach? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So it's starting to gain interest, and especially I invite them to come to my practices and actually watch. And I did have two girls last season, and they got to be able to come and watch us wrestle and wrestle in the wrestling room, and they thought it was pretty neat.
So besides being a coach, you're also a teacher at Cypress Creek, is that correct?
Yes.
So you actually fill several different sort of positions there. You're not just a coach, but you're a teacher, but more so, you're really a role model to a lot of the girls. Would that be a safe assumption?
Absolutely.
So as that role model, a lot of these girls are able to look up to you, and they see that wrestling is just not a boy's sport, because they see you actually out there on the mats. They see you being that hard-charging teacher, that hard-charging coach. Not just a coach, but you're a role model too. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes. The girls, and the boys, I mean, they all just love to see, like, when you can actually get out there with your students and wrestle with them or do conditioning with them and talk about it. I mean, they love it. They definitely love watching you out there doing it and saying, hey, wait a minute, she's not just talking about it, she's actually doing it. And that makes them want to get more involved.
So were you ever a wrestler in high school? So what brought you to be a wrestling coach? Do you have a wrestling background?
Not a wrestling background. I'm a defensive tactics instructor. I've been a police officer, a deputy sheriff for many years, and I was the training corporal in the training unit. So I trained the deputies on defensive tactics and firearms and ground fighting instructions. So it's a little different from wrestling. I had to learn the point system, and you really don't fight on your back, which is what we were kind of teach the deputies to do, which never get on your back to begin with. But if the fight happens to go that way, then how to defend yourself. But for wrestling, you don't ever want to be on your back. So it took a little bit of a learning curve for me to adapt to the wrestling rules and regulations.
Well, that's pretty outstanding. So having that sort of defensive tactics, and I'm kind of familiar with the law enforcement defensive tactics background, so that must have been a pretty easy transition then, to go from being a defensive tactics instructor and having all that ground fighting background and making that transition into a high school grappling wrestling environment. Would you say that was a pretty easy transition?
Yes, it definitely helped to have the background that I have. It makes it easier to deal with coming up with how to condition them and the whole competitiveness about it.
Okay, so, and then that makes it easier when the other, males in the wrestling room also see that you have that sort of background, and it makes it easy for them to also sort of fall in line, and they sort of see Coach Hughes isn't really one to sort of mess around with.
They learn real quick.
Yeah.
They learn real quick because, of course, they, they look at the outside and you get on the mat with them and you start wrestling around, then you have to kind of put them in check, and they learn real quick. So that respect has to come out right out of the gate.
Well, I think that's one of the jobs that the coach has to sort of establish themselves with, a little bit of credibility right off the bat. And just say, hey, coach knows exactly what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's excellent. That's excellent. So, let me ask you, what are some of the stereotypes do you think that you've had to address or, deal with as a female coach? Have you had any challenges that you've had to face being a female coach coming into a sort of male-dominated sport?
Well, yes, my first year coming in, I would go to the tournaments, and I'm still learning, and I would show up, and they would say, you have to be outside the line here. This is for coaches only. And I'm like, well, I am a coach, and I would actually have a shirt on that says coach. But, they still were blind to it. And then if I would tell them I'm the wrestling coach, they'd be like, you mean for girls? And I'm like, no, I'm the wrestling coach for Cypress Creek High School, and right now we have all boys except for two girls. So it took them a minute to recognize that and give that validity to what I was telling them I was there for. Or I would get asked like, "Are you the wrestling mom?" Nope, I'm the wrestling coach. So, sometimes even walking in and out of the gate with my band saying that I'm a coach, they would actually still stop me, but they would let the other males walk right on by with the band, and they would ask me about it, and I would be like, no, I'm a wrestling coach, and I have to show them my band, and my shirt says it, and even the officiates sometimes, some of them were fantastic, they thought it was neat, offered for me to even start learning how to be an officiate so I could better learn the rules and regulations. But other ones were still, kind of shocked to see it and actually hear it. So it makes, when I first walked out onto the mat and you sit in your coach's corner and you see everyone's face kind of stop for a second, like, what is she doing? I'm like, I'm the coach. It's okay. I can be here, And they're like, oh, and then they keep going, and you're like thinking to myself, like, are you kidding me? But I'm used to it being in law enforcement, so I didn't take it, to heart, and, didn't let it bother me. I kind of chuckle at it and just roll with it. It is what it is.
So it's just more like you were just kind of out of place. People just sort of, you just didn't look right. You didn't look the part of a coach.
I wasn't a guy, yeah, and I didn't look the part of being there, because you walk into a wrestling tournament, and the ones that I've been to, I haven't, except for the ones that are only girls only, I didn't see any other female coaches, and if I saw any other females around, they were in the mom capacity, getting the uniforms and hey, honey, go ahead and make sure your mouthpiece is in. And even though I had to do things like that, I had to bring a razor with me and make sure I had to shave them or, you know, get them ready to go in there. Or they forget a mouthpiece or their headgear or whatever. I still had to do that mom role, but it was definitely eye-opening to look around the room and say, am I the only female coach in here? So, yeah.
So you mentioned the mom role. How does being a female coach, how does that play as being a motherly role in the, as do you ever feel the need to be the team mom at all? Do you ever feel like you need to sort of, you know, be that motherly figure to the team?
I always am anyway. I mean, I hug all my kids, boys or girls, it doesn't matter. I let them have it when they need to have it. I check them when they need to be checked. If they don't have their headgear on or their mouthpiece or they need a Band-Aid or something, I'm there with those things as well. So, yeah.
Well, those are all things that I think every coach kind of does. And I'm also a coach for a high school team. And, you know, I've given out hugs. And, in fact, I just had a boy on my team come up to me the other day and hug me. And he told me he loved me.
Yeah,
which was just sort of out of the blue. But I don't ever feel that I've ever been in that mom role. So is there something that makes you feel that you have to step up and be the team mom? Or is that an instinctual thing that you feel?
I think it's instinctual regardless because I am a mom. I have two daughters. So I think once a mom, always a mom. So I definitely, it comes out, but I'm also, they know I'm their coach, and that's another reason why I actually get out there and wrestle with my boys, because I want to get them ready to know what it's like to wrestle with a girl. In the very beginning, I mean, they it was trying to hold on. I mean, they didn't know where to hold on or what to do, and it was kind of funny, but I had to get them used to it, and then after a while, we would just get in there and wrestle and just go at it, and they were great with it. Now, when it came to a tournament, they're like, coach, that's a girl. And I'm like, you're right, so am I. They're like, no, you're coach. I'm like, no, I'm still a girl, and you're going to go wrestle her like a wrestler.
Sure, and that's always a challenge, and I've faced that challenge with some of my own wrestlers where they've had some, I guess, challenges in wrestling females and not sure how to approach it and question their own, I guess, approaches on how to wrestle females. And I think that's a great attribute that you bring to your team, that you're able to, you know, say, hey, look, this is, you know, a reality of the sport. This is a co-ed sport.
Well, for my boys, it's sometimes a losing situation, because if you win, then you're labeled, oh, you just beat up that girl. And if you lose, you just got beat by that girl. So, and for my girls going out there, I mean, it takes a great deal of courage to wrestle, not only because of the physical disadvantage, but also because it's just not yet been accepted by society for girls to train and compete against boys in a combat sport like wrestling. But I think in spite of this, the number of girls competing in high school wrestling has increased, and year after year is going to continue to increase. And the ones that are doing it right now, they are the true trailblazers for girls in high school wrestling.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. On my previous guest, we had spoken about that, and she did a great job with that. So how do we change that mentality then, that if you beat a girl, you lost to a girl, or if you lose to a girl, you lost to a girl? How do we change that mentality?
You know, I don't know if we can. I think the more just taking the baby steps of trying to, like when I was a law enforcement officer, saying, I'm a deputy sheriff. You know, when I was training a deputy, they would still open the door for me. And I'm like, no, you don't do that. I'm your field training officer. I'm a deputy just like you. So I think we have to, I pass that on to my wrestlers, saying they're a wrestler. Don't try not to look at her as a girl.
I mean, because that's really a societal issue that we face. We want to say that we treat everybody equally, but really we don't,
not,
do we?
No. We treat fairly, not equally.
We see that. You know, actually play out on a wrestling mat, don't we?
Yes. I've overheard a couple conversations where the boys are like, oh, if a girl comes here, I'm going to just put her face in the mat. She, you know, she's going to know it's not sport to be in. And then it's kind of neat to sit back and listen to another boy stand up and say, no, that's still a girl. You know, I mean, give her a chance. She's actually out here. You see any other girls around? She's actually wrestling with us. And I actually liked, I remember one wrestling match, I'll never forget, where You could definitely tell he had a higher skill level than she did, and he still went, gave her a couple rounds and pinned her, but it let her go through, going through the rounds of it, and then he didn't pin her hard, didn't try to hurt her, but gave her that opportunity because, you know what, she came back because of that, because of how that sure. went down.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the great things about wrestling is every wrestler was that brand new wrestler at some point. And, you know, that's really the quality of the sportsmanship about wrestlers. And there's a quote that I say to my wrestlers all the time is, some days you eat bear, and other days the bear eats you. And, you know, that saying is true no matter, you know, the type or quality of wrestler. You could be a state champ, and that state champ is going to get his face beat in by another state champ at some point in his career. So I think the quality of sportsmanship really resounds across wrestlers, no matter what state, no matter what tournament. Everybody has been that first day wrestler, and everybody knows that no matter how big or bad you are or you think you are, there's always somebody bigger and badder than you.
Yes, it is.
So,
yes, it is.
Let me ask you, Coach Hughes. You mentioned the fact of, you know, being a mother. Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have two girls.
Okay, so do your girls wrestle?
Yes, they do. One is 8 years old and one is 12 years old.
Okay, and what are your thoughts about your daughter's wrestling?
I think it is truly is a chance to celebrate opportunities for girls and women of all ages to participate and grow through the world's oldest and greatest sport, and they are loving it. They can't wait to go back, and I think that it's going to be opening up a different, because they both play softball. But they've been asking me after they'd gone to the, we went to American Warrior Wrestling Club, and they said, Mom, when am I going to go back? I want to go back and do it again. I liked it. For my 12-year-old, she had to get a little used to, I mean, she's in that preteen, used to, like, Mom, where do I grab them again? You know, so can I do that? And I'm like, yes, just only in the mat. So, but they're digging it.
Well, there's definitely some lessons learned, some life lessons that are learned on the mat, no doubt. Coach Hughes, I want to thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for coming on out, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Power Hour. And any final words before we...
I just wanted to also thank a couple sponsors that we already had since the season before it even started, and it was attorney Michael Butash, Vincent from Paz Law, and Rob Green. They've already donated for us to be able to get our season started, and very grateful for their sponsorship.
Sure, and that's one of the huge things about having the sponsors, and they're very important for any wrestling program, as these programs are almost fully funded by the sponsors that support the programs, and many of these programs aren't able to exist without the community support. So thanks to all the sponsors that support these programs. Without you guys, we're not able to do what we do. So Coach Hughes, thanks once again for coming on out here, and thank you for listening to the Power Hour with the Wrestling Doc. Coach K out. One. Okay, welcome back. This is the Wrestling Doc at the Power Hour, and joining us on the phone is Coach Steve Hall. He's the director of the Florida Amateur Wrestling Association, and he's also the head of the Wrestling National Hall of Fame at the Florida chapter. Steve, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys.
So today we're talking about girls in wrestling, and I understand you are just a part of something pretty significant here in Florida. Can you tell us where you just came back from?
Yeah, we just got back on Saturday from the Junior National Duels, where we had 18 teams out there competing for a national championship. It was pretty cool to see that many girls together. Our Florida girls really stepped up. We lost to the eventual national champions by one match. We were their closest duel, and we didn't match up quite as well with Colorado. And lost a nail biter in Texas, but we ended up with sixth place. So they went out there and wrestled really, really well.
Wow, that's excellent. Outstanding. And Steve, what are the age groups of the girls that you brought up there with you?
We had anywhere from 15 to 19. So 19 being, of course, our graduating seniors, and, you know, 15, we had some girls that were freshmen now moving into their sophomore year.
Okay, and so for that team, where do those girls come from?
All over the state of Florida. I mean, a good chunk of our girls, you know, come from Central Florida. But we had good representation from down south, as well as, you know, over here in the Tampa area. So
how do you do recruiting for that team? Where do you just sort of say, hey, you know, we're putting a team together and we're going to...
Well, no, it's just our, we have qualifying tournaments. And those qualifying tournaments are designed to make sure that we have our best team that we're taking. First is Father Divine. That's our national duels qualifier. And then we also have our state championship for freestyle. And that determines our Fargo team.
Okay, so the girls on that team actually get selected based on how they place in some of those tournaments?
Correct.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So you're really in touch or in tune with the top female wrestling talent in the state of Florida, then. That would be a pretty safe assumption then, right?
I do my best to be in contact with the top in the country if I can.
Excellent. Excellent. So let me ask you this. Where do you see, we know that wrestling is really one of the fastest growing sports for females in the country. So where do you see girls wrestling heading to in the future? Is it a true statement that it is the fastest growing sport, or what's your opinion on that?
So, if you ask me, it's the thing that's going to save the sport of wrestling. If you go back to 2010, there were 271,000 male wrestlers and a little less than 5,000 female wrestlers in 2010. And as of this year, there were 241,000 boys, but 24,000 girls wrestling in high school. So it's truly closing that gap and making sure that we're not losing participation in the sport. It's going to, in my opinion, it'll save the sport.
Wow, that's quite a significant jump. So it went from 5,000 females in 2010 to 24,000 to now?
And that's on active rosters, not inclusive of your junior girls, nor the girls wrestling in college. That's just high school wrestlers. We had almost 600. We had 594 wrestlers on high school rosters in Florida last year.
Wow. That's absolutely shocking. That's absolutely shocking. And I suspect that those numbers are going to continue to rise as the sport becomes more and more popular.
Agreed.
So how do those...
Once everybody adapts to the fact that the girls are just wrestling, that it's not girls wrestling, it's just wrestling, they're going to see that these girls train just as hard as anybody else, and they compete even harder most of the time because they got a little chip on their shoulder. It's pretty entertaining to watch.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our two earlier guests brought up one of those points. You know, once we get past the fact that it's boys and girls and it's just a competitor, I think that's really going to change the dynamic of the sport. So it's interesting that you brought up that very same point, because our two earlier guests really identified that same issue. So, Steve, let me ask you this. Where do you see, or how does the state of Florida compare to those numbers that you just mentioned as far as the girls and competing?
So competing-wise, I mean, we're as strong as any team out there. Our numbers are less. I mean, you've got teams out there like California that are going to come to Fargo with 80-plus girls, you know, but they've been sanctioned for quite a while. You've got Texas, who's got girls wrestling in almost every school. They have huge numbers. But, I mean, let's be real. I mean, we just lost to Texas. We were tied 29-29 going into the last match to determine if we wrestled for third or fourth or fifth and sixth. So are we there? We're right there. And I think, you know, we have a lot of talent in Florida. We got a lot of talented coaches. And the minute we truly get our participation rate up, I think we take this country over. But that's just me. probably a little bit biased.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned getting sanctioned, and for all of our viewers that are out there, can you explain what the issue or the status about being sanctioned means?
Sure. I mean, if legitimizing the sport to the girls, right now, you know, we roll under the pretense that we're not sanctioned. We've got a group of coaches that pretty much come together and run a big club is really what it is.
Because this is an issue
for our girls.
If I could add, this is an issue with FHSAA, right? The Florida High School Scholastic Athletic Association. So the issue with sanctioning really comes from the State Athletic Association, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of hurdles that have to be jumped over, and, you know, hoops to jump through to be able to get that done. Fortunately, this last year, we've gained a lot of traction over the last 2 years. We've had 300 girls participating in our state tournament the last 2 years consecutive, and I think they're recognizing that it's a viable sport. They need to add it. And one of the things that, you know, the FHSA is looking at is, you know, will the participation rate be there? And reality is, you know, you look at the boys and you look at 1A, you've got people that are qualifying for state just by showing up to regions because they can't fill the weight classes. So we have our state broken down into 1A, 2A, and 3A. When in reality, for on the boys' side, I don't really even justify that. But as far as participation rate on the girls' side, you know, we're growing, we're pushing forward. We have more girls that travel nationally, I would argue, than the boys do. So I think once they recognize that, and we just gonna continue doing what we're doing, we'll be sanctioned. It looks like 2020 is the year that hopefully that passes, and so 2021, which happens to be the year my daughter graduates, looks like she may get an opportunity to compete at a sanctioned state tournament for a sanctioned title.
Okay, so you think the sanctioning is going to happen in 2020, and then the first sanctioned state tournament will be 2021? Is that your prediction?
That's kind of where I'm at with it. It's already passed. And it's been passed on to the athletic directors at this point, which they'll vote on it next year. And if it passes the athletic directors, then we have a sport. I mean, we're falling a little bit behind. We have states that definitely aren't as good as we are as a state, that have already embraced the movement and have sanctioned. But at the end of the day, it's I always tell people it's their sandbox. We just play in them. So we're just waiting.
Okay, so what if anything could our listeners do to help support that? Is there anything that we would be able to do as, you know, writing letters or writing the athletic director for FHSAA? Or
I think you should contact your local athletic directors and promote the fact that we have girls sports or girls wrestling in each of the schools. I think that's our first step. You know, even if it's a sanctioned or a non-sanctioned program, I mean, I know Orange County does a very good job of it, and where they have teams of full rosters, you know, because they're allowing stipends for coaches that are, you know, outside of the boys' realm. So they have coaches that are specific to women's wrestling. They allow them practice time. They allow them the opportunity to really grow. And if you look at teams like, you know, my counterpart in the summer is Kerwin Adderley. He's got a great program over at Dr. Phillips where he's putting 22 kids on his roster every year. And I know a lot of boys programs that don't have 22 kids on it.
So, wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. So are there other schools similar to Dr. Phillips that have large female squads like that?
Sure. You've got Matanzas, which has got a full program. You have Freedom Orlando, which has done a really good job, and they've got a nice-sized girls program. And, I mean, there's a few out there that have really good-sized programs where the girls are wrestling together, training together, competing together, And with that, you're seeing growth. So as parents, there's two things that you need to do. If you've got a daughter that wrestles, first and foremost, show up. Show up, show your support. If I was hosting a tournament, I've made it clear. You know, we had all of our Tour of Florida events every summer, or every weekend through the spring. We had a girls' division. We offered it at Father Divine. We offered it at Folkstyle State. We offered it at Freestyle State. And you know what? When we see those numbers only at 40 or 50, you know, for some of those tournaments, and especially some of our large tournaments, I kind of blame the parents. We want the attention, but yet we won't put the work in to go get it. So we got to show up. That's the best thing I can tell people to do. If there's a mat rolled out and an opportunity for your girl to wrestle, get her on that mat. I don't care what the style is, if it's freestyle, if it's folk style, heck, if it's Greco, it doesn't really matter. Get her on the mat. Get her wrestling.
Yeah, that's really important, and you're right. When we see these tournaments, and I guess that's some great advice for the tournament directors, to make sure that we have a girls' class. You know, so many times that we go to these tournaments, and you know, we don't see that girls' class offered. And you know, if we're going to promote the sport, I think you're right that these tournament directors need to make sure that we're including those girl divisions as well as the boy divisions.
That's so, where we're going to see growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Steve, let me ask you this. So as far as the Tampa Bay area, I know you mentioned that there's some programs like Dr. Phillips, Freedom Orlando. How does the Tampa Bay area compare?
We got a lot of hardworking individuals. We don't really have any solid squads that are, I would say, they're just a dominant squad. I mean, Pedellas and Hillsborough just haven't really stepped up on that. I mean, my daughter wrestled at Palm Harbor, but there is no women's wrestling at Palm Harbor. There's my daughter who, my daughter and the women are all welcome, but they participate with the boys. So once the counties start picking that up, and the counties, you know, start offering those programs, I think that's going to help. But we do have some individuals that do a lot of traveling out of our area. I mean, there was a girl out of Strawberry Crest just on that team with us. I've personally trained another state champ that came out of the Tampa area this last year. My daughter is in this area. She's a state champ. So, I mean, we have our individuals, but we haven't really taken to the idea of full girls teams out here yet.
Well, this radio program now, this is designed to promote the sport of wrestling in the Tampa Bay area and West Coast Florida. So we're hoping to use this venue to get people wrestling and spread the word. So hopefully we'll be able to use this as a platform to get the word out. So let me ask you this, Coach. What are some of the biggest challenges here in Florida, specifically in the Tampa Bay area that you see for the girls wrestling?
Okay, so big picture is one that I don't know that we're ever going to fix, which is we continue to take a circle peg and try to push it into a square hole or vice versa. And our girls are in high school are forced to wrestle folk style. At the end of the day, nationally, they compete in freestyle. When they go to college, the style's freestyle. If they decide to, you know, continue on beyond college, it's freestyle. But we continue to force folk style at the girls. So it makes it hard for that transition this summer. And I think that's where our participation rate drops off. I mean, we have, like I said, almost 600 girls that are participating during the high school season. But then I'll run a freestyle state and we get, you know, 45 to 50 girls that show up. And it's because they were never taught that style. But that's what's available, you know, in the summer months. You know, all these tournaments that we're going to, you know, so we just got back from junior nationals for the duels, and now we got individual nationals for cadet and juniors that are going to be up in Fargo. They're all wrestling freestyle. So I think we either have to have, one or two things has to happen. We either have to start allowing the girls to wrestle freestyle in high school, especially while it's unsanctioned, or in two, we have to have the coaches that, that buy into that mentality as well. I've had this debate with a lot of coaches, and a lot of coaches saying that you couldn't do that because it would split the room. You'd have to coach two. No, you just got to get two coaches. I understand that means you don't get both stipends, but you got to teach both. You got to teach freestyle, and you got to teach folk style. So I think that's our biggest challenge. I mean, honestly, on the national stage, I know for myself, until I started making folks or freestyle Hannah's, you know, priority, we really struggled on the national stage. Now freestyle is her priority, and she wrestles folk style in her, you know, her off season, and you know, freestyle translates real well to folk style. She was able to win girls state this year, only wrestling, you know, a handful of tournaments folk style this year, but we were really focused on freestyle.
Yeah, so that's definitely going to be a challenge. I think that you know, some of the coaches are going to have to look into. So let me ask you this, Coach. We're going to end up wrapping this up here. I want to thank you for your time, and thanks for calling in. How does any of the girls that have an interest in getting involved with some of the girls in wrestling here, how do they get in touch with you?
Call me directly. Grab your pen and paper. I'll give you my cell phone number. And call me directly. You can call me at 941-405-9495. If any parent out there wants to know how do you get your daughter more involved, if you're looking for a room that your kid can roll in that that is going to, you know, behoove them, if you're looking for, you know, opportunities for them to go to college and you need that path, call me. That's what I'm here for. I'm trying to do what I can. Again, I got a few years left, you know, before I move on. But in those few years, I'm trying to do what I can to make sure that Florida's established as it can be.
Sure. Well, Coach Hall, once again, I want to put that number out again for you. We got 941-405-9495. And, Coach, we just can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing for girls wrestling here in the state of Florida. And, you know, for wrestlers all up and down the country, or at least here in the state of Florida, the West Coast Florida, you do such an outstanding job for all the kids, both over there at Palm Harbor and all the girls, and you just do such a wonderful job. So we want to thank you for your time, and thank you for calling in, and thanks for joining us here at the Power Hour. And this is the Wrestling Doc, and thanks for everybody for tuning in, and make sure you join us at our next show, and we look forward to all your comments, and you can join us at VRMSportsNetwork.com.